We're not that bicameral. We still sit on opposite sides of the
aisle. Oh, I see. We'll see what
you call Representative Wilson, wherever
you
are.
Yes.
Peter didn't put himself on.
Okay. I think we are live, colleagues.
I heard that.
Everyone, thank you for getting here promptly. And I would like to call to order this organizational meeting of the Joint Interim Committee on Student Success. And thank you all in the audience and on the dais for being here. On behalf of Senator Roblin and myself, I would like to thank you all for accepting the invitation proffered by our presiding officers, who we will hear from shortly, to join this committee. And we will start by adopting our committee rules. But we will start by recognizing Senator Roblin.
I just wanted to move that we adopt the proposed rules.
Nicely done, sir.
Committee dated 12/2018.
Very nice. They are not on your, they're not in front of you, but they are on OLIS. And I'd like to start by introducing our LPRO analyst, Lisa Gazelter, and see if there's anything we should know about those organizational rules, about those rules.
They're fairly standard.
Okay, very good. Any discussion on the rules? Any objection? So moved. Okay. I keep the organizational meeting open, right? And I move on to this. Okay. I will close the organizational meeting, and I will open an informational meeting of the Joint Interim Committee on Student Success for January 12th. 2018. And we're going to have some invited testimony, first from the presiding officers of the chamber. So I'd like to call forward, please, at the same time, Speaker of the House Tina Kotek and Senate President Peter Courtney. Thank you both for being here and your role in bringing all of us here.
I'll sit right next to you. Do you want to go first? Good morning, colleagues. For the record, Tina Kotek, State Representative, House District 44, and Speaker of the House. It's nice to see you all. First, want to start off by thanking you. Thanking you for stepping up to be on this committee, for your commitment that you're making by being part of this group to our students, to our schools, and to the whole state. Thank you very much. It's a very important undertaking, and I know that this group is up to the task. So thank you very much. Our goal in creating this committee is to chart a path forward for our state, a path that will ensure every child has access to high-quality schools that they deserve. This includes everything from strong pre-K programs to the length of the school year to ensuring schools have stable, sufficient, and accountable resources. The strength of our public schools says a lot about our state and a lot about our values. I think all of us can agree that there's work to do. We know that there are places where students are succeeding, and we know there are places where they are not. We also know that statistics are important, but the data doesn't tell the whole story. And certainly we'll want you to understand the data, but that is an incomplete story. And what we're hoping that you will find out are those fuller stories, the stories about the kids being left behind, the stories about the challenges that the teachers are facing in the classroom, the challenges of the job prospects for those students who don't get their diploma or their GED or don't have access to career and technical education and what that means for their futures. Because those stories are going to be important to understand if we're going to chart that path forward. Your job, and I've spoken to all the members on the House side, is to hear those stories and then tell us the story of how to fix it, how to build the plan for the future. To do this, you are being tasked with bringing together diverse perspectives, bringing them to the table, learning firsthand from our schools and from our students what they need to be successful. We want to know what's working. We want to know what's not. And most importantly, we want to know why. On both accounts. Just doesn't do it's a good enough job to define the problem. We need to know why for the purpose of solving it. Your job is to figure that out and come back to us, come back to the rest of us colleagues who haven't been doing all the work, to give us a set of recommendations, how we can do better, and make those efforts to do better, make them sustainable. Not only for this generation of students, but for the students to come. And so like the successful work of the Joint Transportation Committee, which some of you were on, you're going to be conducting some field hearings around the state in a variety of communities to listen, to learn from those communities. We want you to engage and listen to parents, to educators, all education professionals, to community leaders, to business leaders. You're going to do a lot of listening. And that's a little hard for us sometimes. We do a lot more talking. We want to do a little more listening here. Because we want to know what their successes are and what their challenges are. And from those conversations, we want you to figure out how to make every place be successful and come back to tell us how we can do it. So our expectation is that your recommendations a year from now will include a budget proposal. The story you can tell and must tell simply can't be aspirational, theoretical. I will really not want to see a list of principles and vague suggestions. We really need to know how we're going to do this. We need you to advise us on the necessary resources and, to the best of your ability, how we can make change that is stable and sufficient and accountable. Because at the end of the day, we're all here to ensure that every child has a fair shot at success, no matter where they live, no matter what their family background is, or what they're really interested in doing. Every student can be successful, and I think we can have a system that does that. So that's why you're all here, and you will have my full support to get that done. And I want to thank you right now for all the work you're going to put in. So thanks very much. Mr. President?
Co-chair Smith Warner, and co-chair Overland, vice co-chair Boquist, vice co-chair Smith, who's not here, and all the members here who have agreed to serve on the Joint Committee of Student Success. My name is Peter Courtney. I'm a state senator representing District 11. I live in Northeast Salem. And I want to thank you for letting me come here today and testify. Oregon's K through 12 schools are lacking. As you state, our graduation rates are low and our class sizes are large. Teachers don't have the resources they need. Families pay high fees to get basic classes for their children. These things are not true of every school, but they are true of too many schools in our great state. Excellence should not have a ceiling. Every student in Oregon should have access to a well-rounded education, prepares them for college if they wish, and for the many workforces that are out there for them. How do we achieve that goal? We want you, please, to find out what's working, and of course what is not, as the speaker just said. We want you to find out how we can make our best schools even better and our less successful schools much better. School districts should be able to offer year-round schools, should they? Can we expand advanced placement opportunities? Can more schools offer international baccalaureate diplomas or more electives? How do we remove the barrier of fees that keep students from participating in arts and so many other critically important extracurricular activities? Don't let conventional wisdom limit your imagination. I believe our schools need more funding. I think we all believe that. Every biennium, we budget hundreds of millions of dollars more for K-12, and we immediately hear how it is not enough. It's a problem, I believe, that we have been chasing since the passage of Measure 5 and 50 in the 1990s. Oregon's Quality Education Commission said in the August 2016 report that before these measures, our state's education funding was 6% above the national average. Now Oregon's education funding is 11% below the national average, the commission reported. The Legislative Revenue Office, at my request, recently estimated that without Measure 5 and 50, property tax in Oregon would generate an additional $3.5 billion annually. They also said that $2.1 billion of that, or more than $4 billion a biennium, would go to K through 12. That's a big hole we have never been able to fill. This committee's work cannot simply be about money. Money alone will never solve all these problems. 2 years ago, the Speaker and I appointed the Joint Committee on Transportation, Preservation, and Modernization. I remember at the time, in a side conversation, I told the Senate's co-chair, Lee Beyer, that before the committee started trying to figure out how to raise revenue, or how much of it should raise, that their job was to find out what kind of transportation system Oregon needed. And they did an extraordinary job. They held dozens of public hearings across the state. They met with stakeholders and heard from everyday Oregonians. The result was the most comprehensive transportation improvement package this state has ever had put before. It goes far beyond roads, bridges, and culverts. It includes transit, bike paths, and safety routes to schools. My hope, my wish, is for the Joint Committee on Student Success to find out what kind of education system K through 12 Oregon needs. Find out how to give every child that opportunity to be successful. Find out how the legislature can work with local school boards in partnerships. Find out what we need to do to lower class sizes and raise graduation rates. Find out how we can better use the education dollars we have. Find out how we should put, where we should put additional investments. When you have found those answers, please, please work together, Democrats and Republicans, House and Senate, to craft a proposal that will give every Oregon child the opportunity to achieve success. Now, these last few sentences give me great pause. But I feel if I don't say this, I will have not been fair to the individuals, and I will speak specifically in a minute to the state senators. I'm not going to kid you. Transportation was a tall mountain to climb. This is Mount Everest. But by addressing these issues, we can set Oregon on a path of an extraordinary future. If I may be allowed, I'd like to speak to the seven senators that I've asked to serve here, because you're here because of me. I once said the only thing wrong with children are adults. I say it again. The only thing wrong with children is adults. Years ago, there was a movie made. I think the original movie was made in Japan. The star, long gone, you won't know about this, was Yul Brynner. It was called The Magnificent Seven. Now, in the movie, which has been redone many times, this group of individuals who didn't have the most spectacular past, that doesn't include you, decided to save a village from a desperate group of brutal human beings. To save the children, the women, the old people. Only seven of them, against great odds, and they did it. I must tell you, it didn't go so well with the seven. I think only one or two of them made it. And the reason it's important for me to tell you this is, I have asked you to go, I'm sorry, on an impossible mission. Years ago, when I tried to do something as a freshman, and I worked together with a guy named Tony Van Bleek. You don't know him. He's a Republican professor, much older than me. And we tried to save the world because we knew the property tax was exploding. So we came up with this idea. We would limit it and go with a 4% sales tax dedicated to K through 12. He and I worked for 2 years, and he warned me, Peter, when we go up top with this bill, the snapping turtles are going to come out. I'd never heard that phrase. And oh, was he right. Do you know that my caucus would not speak to me? The Democratic Party back then hated the sales tax. I would go sit in my caucus in the back, and they wouldn't even talk to me. I was an outcast. They would later on embrace it, let alone what was done. But my point to you is, this is a voluntary mission. And I mean that. If after what I'm telling you, you don't want to do this, I wish you'd come and tell me. I mean it. Not every state senator would want this or could do what you're being asked to do. But I want you to understand, you know, adults, they're interesting. When I used to practice law, we used the phrase, what's in the best interest of the child? Yeah. You ever see adults fight in a domestic relations dispute? Somehow I'm convinced they lose sight of that. And what I'm saying here is, the bottom line has to be the child and our children throughout the state of Oregon. And you're going to find, if you really get into this, and I know you will, that you're going to get hit very, very badly sometimes. So this is a voluntary mission. I can't tell you how grateful I am that when I asked each of you to say you'd do it. But I think I owe you this. I owe you this very dark side, because I know it's coming. I know it's coming. And so I can't thank you enough for being here. And I don't even mean to ignore you, House, but you didn't get there because of me. You got there because of the speakers. So I owe it to my seven colleagues, my magnificent seven, to let you know that's it. If you haven't seen the movie, you might look it up. So thank you very much. Thank you for letting me do my rant, as Senator Hass likes to say. And again, I didn't mean to talk you out of this, but I also made sure I want you to know that not only am I grateful, but I hope you know what you're getting into.
I brought my folks fun and adventure. So
Thank you both very much. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Okay. The next thing I wanted to give everybody on the committee an opportunity to introduce themselves and say a few words. I was going to say as many or as few as you'd like, but I would like to put a limit on that. I would say a minute or so seems like plenty. I am going to take the gavel privilege of introducing my side first, the House side first, and I want to recognize first of all that two of our members are not here today, because I believe professional obligations have taken them elsewhere, but I want to acknowledge Representative Greg Smith, who is the co-vice chair of the committee, and Representative Brian Clem, who will also be serving on the House side. And with that, I'm going to start at the far end and actually let everybody introduce themselves. So I'm going to start with Representative Fahey and move this direction.
Thank you, Chair Smith-Warner. I'm Representative Julie Fahey. I represent West Eugene and Junction City. I'm serving in my first term, was elected in the fall of 2016. I have three school districts in my district, the Junction City School District, the Bethel School District in Eugene, and then I have a little bit of the 4J School District as well in Eugene. I'm very much looking forward to our committee, and whether it is fun and games or a very tall mountain to climb, I am up for either of those scenarios or both. And really, I think the work of this committee is very important. And when I was asked to be on it, my response was, this is the whole reason why I am in the legislature. So I'm very happy to be here and to be able to do this work. Thank you.
Very nice. Carl Wilson, House District 3, Grants Pass. I'm here for the fun and adventure. I bid on that one. So I'm looking forward to doing this. This reminds me of something that we did back in my earlier political career. I'm in my fifth term, but there was 13 years between third and fourth term. I conducted redistricting hearings around the state back in 01. And, I think that this is going to be somewhat like that. And we're going to talk to a lot of people before we're through, a very diverse crowd. It's going to be really, I think, interesting to hear what they have to say. I think we're all here for the same purpose. We want this to be indeed for the kids, because we have them as all my kids are old now, but I got a herd of grandkids coming up now. And that's why I'm doing it. I'm excited for it for that reason. So anyway, it's great to be here, and I look forward to serving with my colleagues. Many I don't know well, but I think when we're done, I will know them a lot better. So thank you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Diego Hernandez. I'm a state representative for House District 47, which is East Portland. And that includes Centennial, Park Rose, Reynolds, and David Douglas school districts. My story and journey, I guess, here is a culmination of education. First generation to graduate from high school and college and grad school in my family. I grew up in East Portland, after my master's, became a teacher, and was really disheartened because the students that looked like me and students that grew up in the same neighborhoods that I grew up were not graduating, were not going to college. And that kind of led me to the pathway that led me here to run for the school board in Reynolds, and I'm serving on my second term there, and ran for the legislature to try to do something around education, and here I am. So this is kind of great to on the one hand have my career pathway lead me here, but on the other hand that I have the opportunity and privilege to serve amongst you all, but also to be able to listen around the state of what solutions could potentially look like, and for us to have the privilege and responsibility to do something about that.
Hi, I'm Sherry Springer, State Representative for House District 17. I represent 11 cities and 5 school districts. Most of my school districts are rather small. My largest school district is Lebanon Community School District with approximately 4,000 students. I was on that school district for 5 years, or on that school board for 5 years, and chaired that board. And I was known for frequently asking the question as we were talking about roofs, as we were talking about contract negotiations, as we were talking about whatever, how does this impact kids? And I think it's important for us to keep that in sight as we have these conversations. And frankly, I'm sitting here wondering if the speaker was honest with me, and now I'm thinking I want off this committee.
Too late.
So anyway, and where I came from and how long I've been here probably isn't nearly as important as the focus that we keep on kids. So I won't go there.
And I'm Barbara Smith Warner. I represent House District 45, which is Northeast Portland, Maywood Park, and Park Rose. I have 2 kids in Portland Public Schools and represent a chunk of Portland Public Schools, as well as the Park Rose School District, the little district that could, and home of the 2017 Superintendent of the Year, Karen Gray. Just a little shout out there. I am very both excited and energized and a little bit nervous to do this work. And I always say that when my kids started school, my belief in public school went from the abstract to the concrete. And the opportunity to really dig in and go out and see and listen. I think all of us are more experiential learners than we realize. You know, when you're a kid, you do most of your best learning as experiencing it, seeing it, putting your hands in it, listening to it. And then the older you get, the more we rely on reading and other forms. And so I really believe that it's critical for us to get out and see and visit these school districts around the state. As one of the 3 veterans of the Transportation Committee on this committee, I just can't overstate how important it is to get out there and see and talk to the folks that are being impacted by this, because we all come from a different perspective and we all desperately need to broaden that perspective as much as we can. I also just in general believe it is important to look at places where we are having successes, and it's also important to look at places that are having significant challenges. Because what do we tell our kids? What does everybody say is the most important thing? Resilience. Resilience means failing and figuring out how to get past that and move forward. Resilience means learning from that experience and moving forward. So we need to look at where things are working, where more challenges are, where things aren't working, and what lessons are we learning from that? And that is, I think, one of the more critical parts of what we will be doing. So, Senator Roblin, would you like to, I'll move over to you.
Thank you very much, and I know that our president talked about the Fantastic Seven, and you counted, and there was only 6. So we, too, are missing at least one of our members, whose name is Jenny Burdick. Senator Burdick will also be a member of our committee, and we're happy that she's off doing the work she needs to be doing, and we'll make sure that she gets introduced to all the information that's happened here when she gets back. So with that, we'll go down to the far end of the table. And Senator Taylor.
Thank you, Senator Roblin. I had no idea that we were given a choice. I don't know about the rest of you, but when President Courtney called me, I didn't really realize there was a yes or a no in that, but I'm glad to be here nonetheless. So I'm Kathleen Taylor. I represent Senate District 21, which is southeast Portland, Milwaukee, and Oak Grove. So that is Portland Public Schools and the North Clackamas School District. And I, too, have 2 children in public school, a junior in high school at Cleveland High School and a 7th grader at Selwood Middle School. and I have been heavily involved with schools ever since my kids started, everything from being PTA president and serving on the Portland Public Schools Citizen Budget Review Committee, and then in the 2015 session, along with Representative Smith Warner, who happens to also be the co-chair of the Education Committee in Ways and Means, along with Senator Roblin and Representative Springer, we all served on the Education Subcommittee of Ways and Means. And professionally, my background is as a management auditor, and for a period of time, I also audited Portland Public Schools. And so I have some familiarity with how the money flows within the public school system. And there are a lot of challenges that, and there are a lot of limitations and a lot of restrictions, and to put it politely, that we are facing here in the state. And we need to change some things, and we need to change the funding for schools in order to provide the adequate resources so our children can excel. At least that's my 2 cents. So thank you, and I'm glad to be here.
I'm Al DeBoer, Senate District 3, which is Medford, Ashland, Talent, Phoenix, Jacksonville, and stretches out into the Applegate. One of the biggest drivers we have in our economy is a great school system. That's what drives people to Oregon, and people that are employers, great employees. And so we get one bill in the Senate, so my bill is LC 36, which I've been stressed that we haven't done any long-range planning. So the bill is a 10-year plan for education. I wasn't really realized that Senator Courtney was doing something very similar. But I'm thrilled to be on a committee that is going to deal with 10 years, and including funding, class size, teacher retention, which is horrible in Oregon, and to support our education system. I have been on the Ashland School Board for 8 years. I was on site on most of their construction projects during the buildings for our bonds and did the last two bonds. I'm very familiar with education. I've been doing exit interviews with teachers for literally years, and very familiar with the problems. I was a lead negotiator for certified, classified, and administrative, not once but twice for the school district. And I look forward to finding a system that helps our kids graduate. And that was my biggest goal on school board, is I wanted to graduate a kid. I didn't care how I got them graduated. So one of the best stories was a student named Eagle, very non-traditional, hard to keep in the district, but he had a perfect SAT. So it's a pretty cool story. So I look forward to this, and forward to working with all of you and finding a long-term solution to fix our education system. Thank you.
Mark Hass, I'm from Beaverton in Washington County. I only have one school district, but it's a big one, Beaverton, more than 60 schools. Lots of people think that Washington County is affluent and you guys don't have the problems in Beaverton that we have in Jackson County or downstate. Beaverton has the largest homeless population of students than any other district in Oregon, including Portland. In 2011, as the recession was gripping Oregon, Beaverton eliminated 400 positions, mostly teachers. And those positions have now been added back on, mostly, but not the same people. We knew one of those teachers, just the greatest person you could imagine as a kindergarten teacher. And this was the second budget problem she's gone through, and she said, I'm done. Now she's an accountant. And when we talk about the boom and bust cycle of schools that we are subjecting them to through our tax code and other factors, that's what it looks like on the bus times. You lose 400 people. And you add back positions, but usually not the same people. So I'm really looking forward. I'm honored to have been appointed to work with all of you on this issue, and look forward to moving forward.
Thank you. Senator Tim Knope, representing Bend, Redmond, Tumalo, and Sun River. I look forward to the challenge that our leadership has put before us. I've served on both the House Education Committee and the Senate Education Committee, and I think there's no greater calling that we could have than to increase Oregon's abysmal graduation rate, because we've all heard it said that it's you know, it's much cheaper to graduate a child and send them to college than it is to build a new prison. And if we don't do better, we're going to be building more prisons and not enough education institutions. And so I look forward to the challenge. It's obviously been difficult, because if it was easy, it would have been resolved already. So I think there's a lot that goes into that, but we've done some innovative things over the years, including I was on the committee that did charter schools, which I think are important to Oregon. And I want to make sure we hear from all Oregonians in every corner of the state about what is working and what they think we should do to improve their schools. Thank you.
I'm Senator Brian Vogquist. As the fine president said, since I'm not bald, I'm not Yul Brynner, meaning I have very little chance of surviving here. And as was said by another senator, since retribution's alive and well, volunteering to leave is not an option either, despite what the Senate president said. So this is going to be an interesting ride, having just completed the last Bronco run. Thank you.
So, Senator Arne Roblin, my Senate district is Senate District 5, and it spans from just south of Coos Bay to north of Tillamook, if you go on the west side of Tillamook Bay, and then into Sheridan, Fall City, and western Lane counties as it comes up the coast. This is really a culmination of my life, and I was really pleased when the president talked. I have been leading some work groups the last number of years to try to address this a little bit at a time. 32 years at Marshfield High School, one school district, from math teacher to principal of the high school, and loved every moment of that, and came to the legislature in large part because we hadn't done justice to education the last 15 years of that 32 years. When I first got there, we were in that part where we were above the state averages, and I felt really blessed to be a teacher in Oregon. And I worked really hard, and through each of those recessions and that up and down stuff, had to be one of those people that sent out the pink note slips to people and reorganized the school repeatedly, and had to see programs go away that had been instrumental in some kids' success. And so, for me, the opportunity to be on this committee, to have as broad a scope as you heard our two leaders describe, is really important to me. And I will do whatever I can to make it happen, because there has always only been one driving focus in my life around education, and that is the child. It's gotten me in trouble many times in the past. I expect it will get me in trouble many times in the future. So when President pointed out that it could be a problem, I recognize that's really true. When you're meeting with parents and you really care really only about the child, and I will tell you, when domestic disputes happen, like he mentioned, when you're a high school principal or a vice principal or a teacher, you get drawn into those on many occasions, especially if you have a feeling and a responsibility to make a relationship with children in your classroom. And so for me, at the end of the day, when we go out and talk to people, we will also be talking to some kids throughout the state, because I think they have a voice that needs to be heard as well. And I am stunned personally at the quality of people sitting at this table. I feel a bit humble at some of the backgrounds of some of the people in this room and the efforts they have made throughout their lives to better the kids, their own kids' experiences and different kinds of things. I know the charter wars. I was involved in that, and actually was one of those people who felt that it was an important thing to have in our state, to have the conversations that they can have and build. So it's been an interesting adventure for me in my lifetime, an opportunity, and to have this happening now is really, really important to me. I look forward to working and getting to know each and every person here better, but I do think that we have been asked to do something that hasn't really been done in Oregon, like the transportation package, and I hope that people up here on the dais, and we'll talk a little bit about this more, if you need information or want to know things, be sure and ask. There, you know, as my old teacher self, there aren't any stupid questions, and if you don't understand something, you need to get the information. We are dedicated up here to find the information you need to help you make a better decision. And if there are people who you think we need to hear from, if there are information you need to have to read background information, I was amazed at all the background information that the transportation people went through in reading and doing. But it's even a broader scope in this, what we're being asked to do. So let us know what we can do. And I know I speak for Representative Smith Warner as well, that our goal is to make sure you have what you need. We've got opportunity during this next session for meetings on Fridays. How often we meet, we'll decide. We also have a pretty good mix on this committee of the diversity of Oregon, from south to north, for sure, because you got about as far south as you can in Senator DeBoer, and you can't get much more north than a couple of you people. And east to west, we do reasonably well. I always look to my Senator Boquist because he kind of has east to west on his own, but the way he his own personal life has done, he has interests and knows a little bit more about some of those other places too. So I look forward to working with everybody on this committee, and thank the president for the opportunity to be here. So thank you.
Thank you. Just a few more things before we close for today for this introductory meeting. I would like to recognize that work like this takes more than just a bunch of enthusiastic and wary legislators. It also takes the time and dedication and hard work of staff. And I would just like to introduce a couple of the staff that will be heading up our efforts. In addition to Lisa, who we've already introduced, from Legislative Revenue Office, Dave Beck is here, and he will be our point person in LRO. Doug Wilson will be our point person from the Legislative Fiscal Office. Alethea Miller will be our other LPRO analyst who will be working with us. And then two point people in the Legislative Council Office, Hannah Lai. Thank you, Hannah, who is the education K-12 drafter. Thank you. And Rachel Hungerford as well. Who's our constitutional
early childhood.
So thank you all. In addition, there will be I just want to add the many advocates who I see in the room and who I know are watching and listening from other places, teacher organizations, school districts, superintendents, paraprofessionals, other legislators who are here and following, other agencies, teacher standards and practices. The Oregon Department of Education obviously will play a significant role in providing us with information. And I just want to say I've totally bought into the Senator Roblin premise of more hands make the work light, as well as you can never get too much input, I think, on these, because we do all have so many perspectives. So I would encourage all of you to get involved and stay involved. We, in the short term, as Senator Roblin mentioned, in the February session, we are planning on meeting a couple times. We are working through the idea of kind of setting out, doing some baseline education on education, because there is a varying levels of background on the technical details on this committee. So it's going to range from state, kind of the basics of the state school fund, structure of what we have now, school district budgeting. We're still working through, and we'll be seeking out more information from you. Members on the dais will be sending out some version of a Google poll on what issues would you like us to have in that kind of opening baseline setting. We also are going to give you two items of homework before you leave today. We've got a background briefing from LPRO on kind of general information about the education system in the state, as well as the most recent statewide report card that is put out by the Oregon Department of Education. There's hard copies for everybody on over there, as well as those will be available on OLIS as well. And I think we both, even though on the agenda it says closing remarks, I think we've said most of them in our introductions. I just want to keep reinforcing that this is, we want to get down to work. We want everybody's input. We really want to sit down and have good exchange of ideas. We don't expect that we're all going to agree on anything, but you, as one of my colleagues used to say, you'll never learn anything only talking to people who agree with you. So I think it'll be really useful for all of us to engage as much as possible, and we look forward to learning and hopefully coming up with some good results with it. So any other comments or questions?
Yeah, I would just say we have great relationships with NCSL and other organizations. They have great resources at getting stuff. The LPRO thing you're going to see also has a lot of comparison stuff with respect to other states and what they've done and where they're at and costs and all those things. So if you have those questions and you get it to Aletheia or Lisa, they can start getting some of that stuff put together, and they have good knowledge of it. They have good connections to those organizations and people, and even if it comes down to you know that there's some expert out there in the field that you've heard would be really good to hear from, let us know. We can try to figure out if there's ways to get some of those people around and to us to do things. So I guess my feeling is, if you think it and you think it would be helpful, let's have a conversation about it. Don't hold back, because we would really like to get all the information that we can to help you make, all of us, the decisions that we need to do at the end of the day.
I suspect that holding back is not going to be much of an issue with the folks on here. But I hope I'm right.
I think
with that, if there are no other comments or questions, then we are adjourned. Thank you all for coming.